And Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You cannot serve God and material wealth is the precept that we have today, and the declaration of truth from the one who is truth incarnate. And if we're able to receive this truth and live it out, it sets us free. We cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways. You can't give eye service to God and then secretly be, you know, serving mammon in your heart. You can't do both. It's really either or. You can't have God and an idol at the same time. God demands all of our worship, body, soul, and spirit. And so it's got to be 100% for him, and not just a little bit of reserve for this other one. Because if we do have other gods and begin to worship stuff and put our trust in it, then we begin to despise God. And it sets us up in a contradiction toward the whole worship of God. So how do we put this into practice? There are ways that the church has given to us that I think are very helpful in making sure that we are totally given to the one true God, and not given over to the falsity of the idol of material wealth, which is a very flashy, shiny object, obviously. It has an allurement. It has an attraction. But we know that it's a God that cannot save. And so how do we serve the one true God and forsake the idol of mammon worship, of worshiping material wealth, money and riches, and what the temporal things of the world? I would say that we have three practices that we can look for. The first is tithing, the next is thanksgiving, and then almsgiving. Tithing, thanksgiving, almsgiving. Now, the tithe is to give 10% of what one has gathered up, so that the first fruits of the harvest, we give 10% back to God in his kingdom. And that, I think, is a very powerful way to defeat idol worship, because we're not hoarding, we're not grasping, we're not holding on. We're freely giving of what God has given to us. So it becomes a way of getting out of the mammon worship, which would have us gather up things in greater and greater volume. There's the parable that Jesus spoke about the man who had a great harvest. And when all that harvest came in, he didn't have enough room in his barns. So he said to himself, "Let me tear these barns down, build bigger ones, and put all my store in there. And then I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you've done very well. You have many years of plenty. So now you can eat, drink, and be merry, and take your rest, and rest from your labors.' And God says to the man that night, 'Thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee.' And then who will tell who will gather all those things?" So we know that there is not security in saving up stuff. That is not where we can find our security and our stay. So we can kind of tell when we are trusting in the stuff, because it makes us anxious. We start to get anxiety begins to build. That's the consequence of idol worship and mammon worship. Trusting in material things will make us anxious. I had a very intense experience of this once when on pilgrimage before seminary. I was traveling with another man, Stephen Watkins, and we traveled for about a month, and now we had 2 weeks left in England. As we're crossing the channel, I began to count up all the money that I had. And it's back in the days of traveler's checks, before the credit card, before internet and cell phone and so on. I just had what I had in my little pocket. And so I pulled it out, began to count it out, and was filled with dread because I knew I didn't have enough for the rest of the trip. I just had overspent, and I was coming into the next phase of the trip short on cash. So this anxiety came up in me. And in that moment, I had a grace given, a consolation. I thought to myself, "Wait a second, I'm on a pilgrimage. That's where you trust Jesus." And so I said, "Here's what I'm going to do. Instead of trusting this stuff, I'm going to take 10% right off the top. And the first church we get to, I'm going to put it in the offering plate." And that's what I did. We got to Harrow on the Hill in London and met Father Swan. It was a wonderful priest there, the rector of that church. We came in about time for evening prayer. And the deal was he would meet us, we'd pray together, and then he'd send us off. We could fetch our own dinner, and then we had parishioners we could stay with. And so that was the plan. As we came in, I looked this way and that and found an alms basin, and I tucked the money in there that I scraped right off the top. And I tell you, I was feeling very free at this time. It was like, you know what? I'm gonna go with God on this one. So I put the money in there, and instead of hoarding and trusting in this little thing I had, the provision, I was going to trust the provider. So I tucked the money in there, and we had a very beautiful even song. And then on the way out, Father Swan picked up everything and cleaned up the church and then met us on the porch steps. We were ready to head off, but he said, no, wait. I've got a little change in plans. How about I take you to dinner? And we said, great. So he took us to his favorite pub, beautiful pints of English ale, and pub food. We had a very nice time together, and then off to our separate lodgings. It was a lovely experience of just, you know, the graces that were given and how provision flowed. And I didn't run out of money that trip. I came home with, you know, change in my pocket. There was no problem with provision. God provided in many different ways. In fact, it was later, in retrospect, as I was reflecting upon that time that we were with Father Swan, that's when I remembered a detail that I hadn't put together right away. And that was when Father Swan was buttoning up the church, he took the money out of the alms basin and came out onto the porch, and that's where he invited us to dinner. So I think it was my money that paid for dinner. But that's the nature of the economy of God. We both got to be generous. I was generous. He was generous. We had dinner together. It all worked out. It all worked. There's a certain freedom that happens when we say, I'm not going to trust the pile that I've accumulated. I'm going to trust the provider. And to show my faith in him, I'm going to trust him by taking some of this stuff and giving it away, giving it to his kingdom. There's a lot of strength in that. We can gather up. Again, it's a way to smash the idol of mammon worship. We're not going to worship that idol. We're going to show we don't trust in it by giving some of it away and trusting in God's provision. And there's a real freedom that comes with that. It's helpful if we make it the first 10%, but everybody I know that tithes has a certain freedom. They're not trusting in the stuff where anxiety comes up. Now, that anxiety is real, and it's something we have to countenance and deal with. So, what does Jesus say? Be not anxious. It's a command. Be not anxious. We're not to have fretful worry about our provision. Don't be so worried about what you're going to, your needs. God will take care of what you need for eating and drinking and the clothes you need. He's the one who made you, and that's more important than the stuff. So if he created you, he'll give you what you need for your provision. God has your back. And this is something that we have to always keep in mind. One of the ways that we can keep this in mind is the practice of thanksgiving. Now, the enemy will want us to launch into different thoughts of how we could be one day destitute and how we wouldn't have enough. And we might be, you know, not even have threadbare clothing and might have to undergo hunger and we'd be thirsty. There are ways the enemy can make us, can play out all kinds of scenarios in our mind, when right in front of us is more food than we can eat. In fact, we're throwing food away because we didn't finish it. And it's in the fridge and it's spoiled. Or there's so much that, you know, it's not like we don't have plenty of water. We have so much to drink that a lot of the things we drink really aren't very good for us. You know, and it's not like we don't have enough clothes. Right now, we have more clothes than we even need, right? If you looked at your own closet, and you put a little sticker on all the clothes you wore in the last 3 months, well, maybe even the last year, how many other clothes would you have that haven't been touched in a year? A lot of it just piles up. Well, the enemy can make us think that we have nothing when in front of us we have a plenitude. So how do we defeat that anxiety? We defeat it with thanksgiving. Come right to the present. Thank God for what you have. And life takes on a whole different atmosphere. Because we're not in anxiety anymore. We're giving God thanks for what we have. And in the plenitude of today, we can rest in his provision. Remember, we're not to have these anxieties. Jesus commands it, be not anxious. And the way out of it is to give God humble thanks for what we have, trusting that in whatever situation we are in, he will give us the grace to endure it. And so often we are in a place of plenty. So let us enjoy that. Let us come out of anxiety into the grace of thanksgiving. The other way that we can come into a place of not of worshiping the one true God and not being distracted by the idol of material wealth is the third practice. So the first one, tithing, the next, thanksgiving, and the third one is almsgiving. This is where I begin to take a certain posture of stewardship over what God has given to me. So I'm not seeing these things as mine, 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 like the man in the parable who built bigger barns for what was only going to be his. No, instead, I begin to enter into a relationship with God with my material wealth and begin to pray and ask for inspiration on where he wants his stuff to go. Because some of what he has given to me is really would be best if it went to others. And so now it becomes a conversation with God. It becomes something of flow where I'm not a reservoir of things. Instead, I'm a conduit of his material wealth that is going out to others. So almsgiving is a way to defeat the idolatry of material, worshiping material wealth. Because again, I'm giving it away. There is this God has given to me his stewardship over what he's entrusted to me. Some of that I need to give away to others. Now I am participating in his provision for other people. And that kind of generosity brings a blessing. I heard a very beautiful statement of someone whose father-in-law has as a practice. He says, I give away as much as I need that will remind me that what I have is not mine. So I give away of what I have, and it reminds me that what I have is not mine. It's his. So there's another thing to think about, right? How do we, in almsgiving, I'm taking what God has given to me, giving it to others. Now, it doesn't master me. My possessions, right? I'm not possessed by my possessions. They don't have the mastery over me. Instead, now I'm master over material wealth as I use it as a means to bless others and expand the kingdom as God would have it. So those are three ways that we can begin to implement this freedom that we have as those who worship the one true God, not to be distracted by, not to be split our affections by worshiping material wealth. Tithing, thanksgiving, and almsgiving. God has come to set us free. May we receive the truth that Jesus has spoken to us and enter into the true liberty that is ours as children of the Most High.